can't do nothing about him and don't want to. It'll take him this morning to bring out what's on our heart. Lord, just let us ponder on some things. And going to read over in Genesis in the 37th chapter. I'm sure those of us that's been in church any length of time knows the story of Jacob and Joseph. But the Lord's dealt with our heart on some things this morning that we want to try our best to maybe bring out by the help of the Lord. And I guess I'm gonna start right there in the first verse of the 37th chapter, and we might skip around a little bit through some of these other places, but the Bible says, "And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. And I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come into his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content, and there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt, and Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, the child is not. And I, whether shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. I know that's a whole quite a bit of reading there, but I felt like we needed to read that whole chapter. In our heart, we've been pondering on these scriptures, and I got to thinking on some things, and just desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us for a little while. I got to thinking about Jacob, and I got to thinking about Joseph's relationship. And I got to thinking about them things, and the Lord showed me some things maybe I've never truly seen in this. And I know there's a lot of different things we can look at, and things that Jacob's life may typify and Joseph's life may typify in the Bible, and things that they may represent. But what God was showing us in this morning, as we got to looking at it, we got to thinking about Jacob, we got to thinking about Joseph and the relationship that these two had, and we know that Jacob had sons by these others, and how that the Bible said that Joseph was his son of old age, and how he loved him. And I got to thinking about how that he loved him so much, and how that the Bible said that he made him this coat of many colors, and he gave this unto him. I got to see in Mike how he come down through time, and I got to look in Matthew at our life and our relationship with Jesus, and I got to thinking how this started out with Jacob, and how that he saw that this was Joseph, his son, and how that he felt an ownership there of Joseph, and how he felt about him. And the Bible said there how that he would made this coat, and he gave it unto him.
Blessing God. Amen.
And I saw how that at this time in Jacob's life,
He used Joseph in a way. He felt justified. He would give things unto Joseph. He loved him and he knew there was something special about Joseph. He knew there was something different about Joseph than everyone else that was in his family. He'd call unto Joseph and he'd give him them gifts from himself. And he'd send him out to do his bidding and to go take care of things. Lee, I got to see in our old flesh, and I got to see in this natural man. I got to look at them others. I got to look at Reuben, and I got to look at Judah, and I got to look at all the other members of that family. And I saw my old flesh. Them other youngins of Jacob's, they was wicked and evil in their doings. They took no thought to even working in the field the way the father had sent them out to do. When he sent Joseph out there to find them, they wasn't even where they're supposed to be. They went off down into no land. They was down there into something evil. And they did not like Joseph because he'd go back to the father and he'd bring the report of their evil doings.
Amen.
You know what our old flesh wants to do? It don't want to do the will of the Father. It wants to go where it wants to go. It wants to do what it wants to do. And when that book right there, the Word of God, comes by and it tells on our flesh, and it don't like to hear it.
Amen. Bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Them boys hated Joseph. They hated him. It's hard to imagine such a hate that they could have, ain't it?
Yes.
For somebody that loved them so much. Jacob loved him.
Yeah.
I got a soul down inside of me. And you don't know the truth, Nelson. It loves fellowship with God.
Amen. Amen.
It loves God. It sees how precious he truly is. And everybody's got a soul. I want you to understand that. Jacob was in a place in his life where he had a love for Joseph. And he loved to give unto him. And he loved to send him out. And he loved to ask things of Joseph. But Jacob himself had never truly seen the importance that Joseph was to himself and the whole family.
That's exactly.
There's a time in my life when Jesus became part of it. And I love to feel good. And I love the thought I think I gave him things. There's a lot of things coming to church. And they just know what it is to know about Jesus and to know him just a little bit. And they feel good when they come in and they feel like they give Jesus something by coming to church.
That's true.
They feel like they give Jesus something by treating people rightly. They feel like they're giving. You see, that coat, it had many colors to it. Oh, it had all kinds of things, different types of fabrics, if you'll have it. Oh, Jacob had made it, and everything he'd get a hold of, he thought, boy, this look good on that coat of Joseph, won't it? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. We got a generation of people going around, they say, oh, this would look good on Jesus. Oh, that look good on Jesus. I take just a little bit here. I take just a little bit there. I sew it together, and I make him look how I want him to look.
God help my brother.
We come in and we love to see Jesus wearing what we put on him, don't we?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Give praise this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, Lord.
Hey, come a day when Jacob sent Joseph down there to go find them boys. They already hated him. Why? Because Joseph had already dreamed a dream and he had told it unto them. He said, there's coming a day that you're going to have to bow unto me.
Yes, sir.
He's a telling that. You're going to have to bow unto me. He had another dream about the moon and the stars and the sun and how they would pay obeisance unto him. In other words, they'd have to honor him one day. And Jacob himself rebuked Joseph.
Amen.
Hey, he didn't want to hear that. Hey, our old flesh don't want to hear. Hey, I'll tell you this. Our natural soul of man, our heart don't want to hear. Then he's going to have to bow one day. But there was one thing about it, my old attorney.
Amen.
Them boys heard it and they hated him even more.
Yes,
but when Jacob heard it, he kept them things, didn't he? And he pondered them in his heart. And he thought on them things. Your old flesh ain't never going to love Jesus.
Amen.
Your old flesh ain't never going to like what Jesus tells it to do. But I'm going to tell you, your soul knows that it needs you.
Yes,
and when the Word of God comes, your soul's going to listen when your flesh don't. Your soul's going to have to at least acknowledge there's something deeper to that than what my eyes can see. Jacob sent him out one day. When he went unto them boys, we try our best to send Jesus out and to keep our flesh in line, don't we? We try and try. He went down and the boys hated him when they seen him coming.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when they seen him coming, oh, there he comes. There's that little do-gooder. Let's just kill him, throw him in a pit. They want to rid him. The Reuben, it was, I believe, spoke up there. Now let's not kill him. We can just throw him down in a pit. Ain't that just like your carnal mind? Ain't that just like your flesh? Oh, the Word of God will come. Oh, and you hate it so much. Oh, I don't want to hear that. And I'm going to kill that in my life. I'm going to cast it down to where I don't have to see it no more, Angie. I don't have to hear it no more. But there's something there that just won't let you kill it.
Amen.
Hey, I wonder why. Because he's alive, Amanda. He can't die. This word, Nelson, it won't return void. Why? Because you can't kill it. Oh, they wanted it dead. They wanted it gone. There's something there living there, wasn't there? Old Reuben spoke up and he thought to himself. He said, I know the rest of them wants to get rid of him. He said, I'll come back later, pull him out and take him back to the Father.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot today. You know what he should have done right then and there? He should have listened to the little fella. And he should have went right then and went back to the Father with him.
Amen.
There's a lot today of coming to church. I'll just cast Jesus in a pit and I'll come back and get him later when I want him. Then I'll take him into my soul. Then I'll let him come live with us again. I'm going to tell you something. You better get a hold of him while he's at hand.
Amen.
It ain't no casting him down. He's coming back later. Why? Because the sins of your old flesh, they'll get bigger and greater than yes, anything
sir.
Else.
Yes, sir.
You know what they've done? Old Judah said, what's it going to profit us? Hey, what's your old flesh looking for? It's always looking for a profit, ain't it?
Yes,
always looking for something to benefit it. Yes. We just take silly. We get something out of this deal.
Yeah.
You think you can sell Jesus off and come out benefited?
No, sir.
No, ma'am.
No, sir.
They took him, cast him down that pit, and then they brought him back out and sold him off. There's a lot today sold Jesus off.
Amen.
That's sure your ass.
Bless you, God.
Don't want to hear what he's got to say. Don't want to even look at him. Why? Because when they looked at Joseph, they saw how sorry they was. They saw they'd never done one thing to really, truly be able to please the Father. All they'd ever done was taste after what they wanted. Hey, you get to looking at your flesh, Lee, I hear you say it all the time. They ain't no reason. If God don't want me, hey, you're looking at one right here. They ain't no reason. If God don't want me, hey, they couldn't find nothing in their life that truly pleased Jacob. Hey, and every time they looked at Joseph, it fell up just how hard they was. I'm going to tell you something about my old flesh. Look at it. They ain't one thing about it. Now please God, or just make my soul happy.
Amen.
Every time I look at Jesus, I see just how sorry I am.
Amen.
God. And what's the first thing our old flesh wants to do? Get rid of Jesus.
They thought they could go back without Joseph and make Jacob happy again. Once Jesus has ever been introduced to you, once you've ever known Him, once you've ever seen how good He is, once you've ever seen what He can do and the truth that lies in Him, ain't nothing else in this life will ever make you happy.
That's exactly right.
You can try to throw him away. You can try to cast him away. But you'll never have peace no more. They took that coat of many colors and they ripped it to shreds. They took it back and they took some goat's blood and they threw it all over. They took it in. Said, here's what we found.
There's a lot today seeing everything they put on Jesus. And this old flesh, this old carnal mind is pulling all the pieces.
You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to convince the Father that Jesus was God. You know what the devil wants to do to us? What he wants to do to our lost people, ain't you? He wants to try to convince you that everything that you thought that Jesus was, it got tore up, it got mangled, it got ruined, there wasn't nothing to Him.
That's exactly what
it wants you to think He's gone. But there's one thing about Him. Oh, Joseph, hey, they pulled Him up out of that pit and they thought they sold Him off and they'd never have to look at Him again. But the whole time He was out there working and suffering and going through things to benefit them later.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I thought about what Jacob said. When they come back, he said, Jacob rent his clothes and put a sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him.
There was no peace to be found in Reuben. There was no peace to be found in Judah. There was no peace to be found in Dan. I don't care how many got around him. I don't care how many tried to comfort him in his time of mourning. I don't care how many tried to comfort him and take him up from his grave. They wasn't one of them there that could fill the place. I'm Joseph.
And he said, I'll mourn all the days of my life.
But I want you to look at one thing that I saw in this. Joseph was distraught and never had seen the body of Joseph. Jacob was distraught and never had seen the truth and the proof that Joseph was dead.
Amen.
All he saw was everything he had ever put together destroyed. All he ever saw was it in ruins and ripped and rent. And right there, he just gave up. I don't see where he went to try to search for him. I don't see where he went out looking. Show me where he died. Show me. You can't find where he went out, where he tried to discover the truth. He was willing to believe what them ones brought back after he already knew that they was evil and that they brought evil reports all the time unto him. And he was willing to believe.
Yes, sir.
I want you to search your life today. You can believe that Jesus is dead in your life and that he ain't right there. Or you going to go looking for him? You going to believe what your old flesh tells you, that you can't feel Jesus like you once did, that you can't lay your eyes on him like you once did? You going to believe your old flesh? Hey, it's here right here. It's lied to me ever since the day I was born. It told me everything that it wanted me to believe. And none of it was the truth. Jacob went all these years. At this time when this happened in Joseph's life, he's 17 years old. And the way I read, after he'd been down there in Potiphar's house, after he'd been lied about, after he'd been thrown in prison, after he's down there in the prison, and the butler and the baker had come down in there, and after he had revealed unto them their dreams, God, Lord, how Joseph was a help in everywhere he had been. Everywhere he went, God prospered him. I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God. You can throw it where you want to, but I'm going to tell you something about it. Wherever it goes, it'll prosper. Wherever it goes, it'll bring forth good fruit. Joseph ended up standing right before Pharaoh one day. And he revealed unto him his dream. It's going to be 7 years of plenty. And there's going to be 7 years of famine. Whole time. Joseph was doing work. The whole time Joseph was doing something that was not only going to prosper his family, but he's going to prosper that whole nation.
Yes, sir.
Word of God. It'll work. When you don't realize it's working. They had to sit back down there in their country. Their voice is spanking. They come to a place, they start starving. See, Jacob was a rich man. Jacob had many things. Mm-hmm. But that's getting down.
Yes,
over that day where they start worrying. They're running out. They had plenty, but it's getting to where they wasn't going to have nothing. Hey, so old Jacob, he took and he sent them same sons out, didn't he? Hey, he sent them same sons out. Tell them, I heard there was some corn down there in Egypt. Hey, I'm going to have to send you down there. I need you to bring something back. Hey, that'll help us get through this famine we're in. How many times our people got Jesus out of their life and then they realize, hey, there's something going on in the church.
Yeah.
I've seen a little difference down there. I heard there's something down there. They might hear about Lee Pete getting his life right. They may hear about Nelson and Amanda getting back in church. They may hear about Ethan and Kim going down there. Oh, I'm going to tell you, hey, when they's pouring somewhere, when they's something to eat, people's going to hear about it. Hey, I'm not just talking about community chapel. I'm talking about the church of the living God. We got stuff stored up to get our people through the famine.
Amen.
Right.
Whatever time we may be going through right now, don't you think the world ain't hearing about the corn coming out of the church, about the food that's in my storehouse? I'm a living God.
You know what Jacob done? He sent his sons down there, didn't he? You know what we do a lot of times, don't we? We'll send our own flesh down to the house of God to look it over. We come in here with our own natural eyes. We scope it out.
Come on, son.
There's a lot coming to church. They want to get their sacks full. Whole time. I'm going to tell you what. When they went down there, old Joseph, he recognized them, didn't he? He said, them's my brothers right there. He said, them's the ones that cast me out.
Yes, sir.
Them's the one that treated me wrong. But you know what he does? He said, Tony, I'm going to give them a little bit of corn.
Amen.
But he said, I'm going to trouble them a little bit. I'm going to give them a little bit of something. I'm going to trouble them. Oh, he went to tell them, man, you're just a spy. You're down here. You're looking for something that you just want to come in and take. You're looking for something to come in here and destroy. Yeah. You don't want to know what the word will do when your flesh comes looking to destroy. They'll give you enough to get you on down the road just a little bit, but it's going to tell you the truth. They got down the road a little bit, they opened up first night. Hey, he kept one of them there. Hey, there was one part of that body that started having to stay around Jesus a little bit. You want to know something? You come down to the house of God, hey, you may think you leave. You may think you're getting away. But there's one thing that'll stay with him. There's a part of you that can't get away from Jesus. Because he'll find it. He'll get a hold of it. And he won't let it go until you come back.
Amen.
I think it was seen. Maybe they could get down there.
Amen.
They sent them down the road. They opened up them sacks. They said, right here's everything we tried to buy with. Joseph didn't want their money. He wasn't looking to profit off of them. He was wanting to give to them. He wasn't wanting what they had to offer. What happened when they got to going down the road? Well, they got scared. They said, what's going on here? That fella up there is trying to give us some trouble. Oh, he's trying to worry us. So they went on back home and they told the father all about what happened. Hey, what did Joseph require? He said, when you come back, he'd ask them. He says, is this all up yet? They said, no, said, we got a little brother at home. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. When you come back to see Jesus, you're going to have to come back with some faith. You're going to have to come back with something to come after he did. Business would come after the birth of Joseph. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus came. He died. He was resurrected. And he left us here with a little bit of faith that we can bring back to him.
Amen.
They went down there and they stayed. And this here's always puzzled me. They didn't go down there and come right back, did they? They had one that was bound and kept in prison up there. They left him there. If I understand it right, if I'm wrong, you tell me. They stayed because they're about to run out again, didn't they? Then what did they do? They loaded it up again and they took Benjamin. They went up there with something they hadn't ever took before. They still went back. They wanted to get and they wanted to go. But this time they had one with them. Hey, there was a close kinship unto Joseph, wasn't he? He's closer than any one of them was. Hey, he was closer than anybody else in the family under the kinship of Joseph. And when they came in, he saw who they were. Hey, and he said unto them,
come on, son.
He's going to give them what they wanted. He said, you ain't going back with Benjamin. You ain't taking this with you. I'm going to tell you what. When you come to the Lord, you're going to have to leave your faith with him. You're going to have to leave your trust with him. Hey, it scared them to death. Donnie wrote on her. Hey, they went to get in a place they had never got before. We can't go back.
Benjamin. Father, he will die without Benjamin.
Amen.
Your flesh, it realizes your soul will die without something to lean on. Without your faith, you ain't got nothing. Without your hope, you ain't got nothing. Do you know where they got to? They got broken down. Whatever it takes, keep one of us. Take us, but please send him back. Our father will die without him. That's where we got to get, my mom. That's the place where our old flesh says, Lord, I can't leave without my faith of being filled with something. Oh, I know I might be jumping a little bit. It came to a place. Poor old Joseph. He couldn't take it no more. He'd already had to walk away from him. He'd already had to walk away from him and go and just weep. Wonder how many times Jesus has wept over us. Wonder how many times he's seen us so close. Right there, he wanted so bad just to get hold of him. But it's going to take you coming to him.
Amen.
It's going to take children your flesh unto him. He loved his brothers. He sure did. But boy, they wasn't nothing like a father, was they? That's who Jacob, that's who Joseph wanted to see coming. Hey, it done got a glimpse of his faith. It done got a glimpse of the flesh that yielded unto it. But he hadn't seen the soul move yet.
Amen.
I think there's a lot today that the flesh is moved. I think they've even got their faith and living towards God. That soul ain't made its trip yet. Boy, I tell you what. Go over about the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. I don't know how much this I'll read. You just bear with me. Came to a place here in this 45th chapter. Said then Joseph, in the first verse, could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no more man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. I'll stop just a second right there. You know what? He couldn't contain himself or refrain himself any longer. We got some sitting in our midst. I'm telling you what, Jesus ain't going to refrain himself much longer. What did he do, preacher? He sent everybody else out of the room, and he got alone with them for a little while. That's mothers on the outside. They heard what was going on, but I'm going to tell you what. Joseph got to working with his brethren on a personal level.
Amen.
The Lord can't refrain himself much longer. I promise you. Hey, he's sending everybody else out of the room. Hey, and he's talking just one-on-one. Oh, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You want to know something about your flesh?
And when Jesus gets to talking, your flesh has to shut up. You know what it done? When he said, I don't say, hey, them fellas couldn't say a word. When the Spirit of God gets to moving through the house of God and gets to talking, in your old flesh, you'll get quiet and sit and listen.
Yes, sir.
How does my father yet live? You know what Jesus wants to know? Is your soul still troubled? Is your soul still longing to see him?
Hey, old Jacob was still a mourning. Back there where he's at, Jacob was still longing, I believe, down his soul, hoping somewhere that Joseph would find his way to him.
And you know, the whole time, Joseph was wanting to see Jacob.
Yes,
you know what the Lord wants this morning? He wants you to give him your soul.
Right.
He's been by, spent a little time with you. You seen how good he was. You tried to put things on him. You've tried to start a relationship, but your old flesh has drug him away from you. Your old flesh has pulled him out, cast him into a pit, and sold him off. But I'm going to tell you what, he's bringing your flesh back to where it needs to be.
Amen.
He's dealing with every part of you. He's showing you, you ain't going to eat without me. You ain't going to have peace without me. Hey, you're going to start coming to try to find what you need.
Yes, sir.
Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. I'm going to tell you here right quick. You know what? What we like to start doing. And Joseph was a stopping them before they ever started. He said, don't grieve yourself for what you've done to me. I still love you. Don't you trouble yourself. Hey, you might have sent me away, but while I've been gone, it was the Lord's will I was preparing something for you. Hey, you know what he was doing? He was getting them ready to where they could understand that it wasn't just some fluke. Hey, them dreams that Joseph had told them about. Hey, them dreams wasn't just something that was just brought out of the air, but it was God speaking to them.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
It ain't just been me up here a blowing wind. It ain't just been every other preacher a blowing wind.
You might have been able to turn it away. You might have been able to cast it off. You might have been able to throw it down and sell it off in your life. But it keeps coming back. And God's preparing you for a day you'll get to see him.
For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance.
If my math ain't right, Jim, please look over it. Far as I know, when they threw him in the pit, he was 17 years old. When he was sent off down into Egypt, and when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. They've been 2 years past here. That's, you added up, 17? I had it where it's about 22 years, I believe, that he'd been gone from Jacob. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. How long has it been since you first saw Jesus? How long has it been since you first ever had an encounter with Jesus? It don't matter how long it's been. It comes to the place right there
where he was telling me, he says, I'm going to give you some great deliverance. It might have been a while since you seen me, boys. You know what? He looked different than he did when they cast him down in the pit. Yes, sir. Oh, he was dressed in fine array now. And he had authority over them. And they knew it.
Yes, sir.
He might look different to you right now than the first time you ever cast him away. Now you're looking at one that looks like he is dressed very fine. And you know he's got authority over you. Amen. Your life's in his hands. Yes, see, Joseph could have had them right there. Their lives could have been taken.
Yes, sir.
At the words he spoke. He knew it, and they knew it. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Joseph got his brothers under subjection.
Yes,
he said, you go back. Hey, the Lord will bring your flesh down. Them that exalt themselves shall be abased. God will bring your flesh down. And he said, you go back and you tell my father. And Joseph said, come on.
Amen.
And tarry not. You know what the word does? It'll break your flesh down and it'll come back to you. And it'll say, Jesus said to come. And he said to tarry not. Hey, in other words, you get down there. You tell Joseph, I'm ready to see him. Hey, here's God. I'm going to get over here. He said to tarry not. Oh. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And okay, I'm going to stop there for just a minute too. He's telling them, you come on down here to me. He said, this ain't the end of everything. We still got some hardship to go through. We still got some times to go through. But there's going to be some famine in the land. There's 5 more years. You know what happened? When I got saved, all my troubles didn't end. Hey, but the Lord said, you come on down here and live with me. I got plenty in the storehouse. It'll get us through to the end.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad? Yes. Oh, I'm going to try and take my time and not hurry.
That's all right.
And yet I will nourish thee, and yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. Hey, he's telling them right there, your old flesh sees me speaking, and your faith's heard what I had to say. Ain't no doubting who's a talking here, is it? He said, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And I'm gonna skip on down here. He said, let me find my place. He said, and to his father he sent after this manner 10 ices laden with the good things
of Egypt and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Hey, I'm going to stop this a second.
There's a lot that's come down to the house of God. There's a lot heard about the goodness. There's a lot got their sacks full. There's a lot got something put in their vessel. There's a lot heard what Jesus had to say. Hey, he sent them back. He sent something back for their soul to get a hold of. Hey, but he said, see that you don't fall out along the way. Hey, there's a lot leaves when they hear what God's got to say. And they get heading back to the Father's house. And they get to question him if it was really him. If it was really something that they need to take back. Hold with them.
Don't you fall out along the way.
You know who fills your sack up, and you get it back, and you let your soul know this is where we need to be.
Remember how he fell upon Benjamin and kissed him in the
hands.
Remember how good he was. Lee, I've seen some. I'm just going to stop here just a second. They get in the house of God. They get to knowing the goodness of God. They get their houses getting in order. They get their lives getting back to where it needs to be. But yet they never took what was needed back to the soul. They just got what God had to give them, and they run with it. They went on their way. Hey, they wasted it along the way, and they never made it back to the Father with it.
Amen.
I can make example after example. Got in church. God started helping them to get back where they needed to be, to get what they needed.
God started blessing their life, giving them a little corn in their sack, giving them a little loving, letting their faith feel a little bit of the weeping, a little bit of the kissing, a little bit of the loving, and they turned and went their way without truly ever taking it to their soul.
And you can look today at everything they accumulated in their sack. Got wasted because they didn't get down there and bring their soul back to the storehouse where they got what they had.
Amen.
You can take a little bit away and you can live on it for a little while, but it's going to run out.
And there's come a time when you can't get back to the storehouse.
Yes, sir.
And so he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, and unto Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons with Joseph's, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. God help me for just a minute.
Hey,
something will bring something back to your soul and let you know Jesus is still alive.
He ain't dead. Everything you ever thought was alive.
Yes.
Jesus is still alive. You know what, Bobby? Jacob didn't believe him. He believed him not. He saw fainted him. There ain't no way that he's alive. There ain't no way. Jimmy looked up. He saw the light. He's coming. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to believe until you see the goodness of God coming your way. Do you see? You know what Joseph done? He didn't see them same old wagons they'd sit down there. He said everything they had to offer to bring them back down there. You can load up the rest of the family. You can load up all your goods. You can load up everything you need. Hey, you can bring it right back down here to the storehouse. Hey, you can come and you can live. And you can dwell with me. And I'll give you everything you need to get back here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I pray to God. You see the wagons are coming your way. What happened to Jacob when he saw them? The Bible said, and the spirit of Jacob their father revived. When's the last time your soul got revived and seen what Jesus had come to get it? But you ain't going to have to walk to this altar by yourself. He's sending something to carry you.
Amen.
He's sending something to bring you to Him.
Yes, sir.
There's a spirit that'll come. He'll draw you out of your seat. You think, I can't walk. I can't make these steps on my own. Guess what? You can't. Hey, Jacob was up in his years, maybe at this point here. Please correct me if I'm wrong. 120 something years old to 130 something, maybe. He couldn't have walked to Egypt. He probably couldn't have withstood a hard ride to Egypt. Hey, but Joseph sat down in the best of Pharaoh's house, didn't he? I believe him with some comfortable things to ride in. He said, you put my father in these and you bring him back to me. I'm going to tell you something. You can't walk on your own. You ain't got enough strength. You ain't got enough about you to get you to Jesus. But he sent the Spirit of God to bring you unto a glorious house. Salvation.
Yes, my brother.
I can't get home on my own. I'm glad to give everything I need. When I was laying out dying in my seat on my way to hell, I couldn't get away on my own. I couldn't do a thing on my own. So, that's something brought news to me through faith. He said, Jesus ain't dead. He's still alive. And he said, he wants you to come to him. When I couldn't lift my eyes, Jennifer, when I couldn't move myself, oh, he sent the wagon train. Oh, he sent enough to carry me and every load I had, everything I had with me. Hey, I didn't believe it at first, Donnie. I sure did, but boy, when I looked up things and I saw the wagon train, I said, I ain't got to go on my own. He said, everything I need to carry me. Amen. Oh, my soul got revived.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you something. Hey, when I realized Jesus sent something after me, I got on board the wagon. When I got on the wagon, I wasn't riding my own strength. I wasn't going in my own ability. I was letting God carry me to where I needed to go. On over in the 29th. Well, maybe the 28th verse there. Said, and he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Now listen there. Your own flesh is going to have to move unto it.
Amen.
Judah led him to the face of where he had to go. All you've got to do is come up out of your seat. All you've got to do is take that first step. And that wagon train will lead you.
Yes, sir.
It'll lead you to where you're going. And listen here what happened. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to go
to Goshen and present himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Boy, can't you remember, saved person?
Lost people, you can't give God this memory. But you can have it this morning. Can't you remember when you got on the wagon finally God said, I did. You stepped out on faith. And the Spirit went to drawing you. Oh, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, before you ever got to where you was going, there's a chariot that was made ready to come out to meet you. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't just the Spirit that drawing, but it was Jesus Christ Himself come out to meet you. Hey, you know what He done? He fell on His Father's neck. And He wept. And He stayed there for a while. Oh, I can remember how good it was, Mike. When I saw Jesus, He's coming and He's arriving into me in His power, in His glory. And when He got to me, He fell on my neck, Matthew, and He stayed there for a while. And He had wept on His neck for a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I've seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Is Jesus still dead to you in your life? Do you truly think there's something destroying Him to where you can't get to Him?
I don't believe you do no more. Why? Because I believe your flesh has done had to visit where the corn was.
I believe your faith's done got its basket full. It's done got its sack full. I believe you know God don't want nothing from you, but He wants your soul to come unto Him. Amen. He wants your soul to yield itself. He wants your soul to look up and see, I've seen all you need to get to Me. And He wants your soul to realize, hey, I've got more down here in the storehouse that'll get you through the rest of your life. And if you never come to Me, you're going to die in poverty, never knowing the goodness of what I have for you.
Yes, Lord.
You saved knows what it was like the day you went to riding towards Him, the day His Spirit went to drawing you, the day you seen Him, the day He fell upon your neck, the day He spent a little while with you, and the day you looked up and said, I'm ready to die, for I know that You're alive, Lord. You can't be ready to die until you know He's alive.
He's alive.
Hallelujah, Hosanna. He is alive. Do you know He's alive today? Or is He dead to you? Have you looked up this morning? Have you truly seen the chariots are coming? I believe your flesh has told you. I believe your faith has told you. I believe God has showed you the chariots. I believe God has showed you the wagons that's ready to carry you down to where your soul can meet up with Jesus. But it's going to take you a stepping out and a getting on board. It's going to take you a ride to where He's taking you. You ain't never going to get there without riding the Spirit. You ain't never going to get there without letting Him bring you to Him. There ain't no way. No way to come to the Father except He draws Him. There wasn't no way Jacob could have got down to Egypt except you had sent the wagon for him. I don't know your heart this morning, but I'm going to tell you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm minded God, not boasting in myself. I was afraid this morning. I was scared this morning.
Amen.
Not for me, but for you. Jesus wants somebody to come. Jesus is ascending. Everything you need to get to Him. You've tried everything in the world. But just getting on board and coming down to Him. You've tried going back home, getting your sack full for just a little while. You've tried trying to do everything in the world, but having to go down
and get what you truly need. It's time to come out. It's time to come down. And it's time to come into the storehouse of God and realize it don't ever run dry.
Amen.
Let's all stand this morning.